Welcome to SFH Presents, the One and a Third podcast with your host, Zach Polk.
I like that too, but I do like, you know, animation titties. Oh, that everyone has someone in their life that deals with the shit that I deal with.
And featuring Tyler Southern.
You want me to rub your feet? You want me to get the bath running? Something? Can I help you relax?
Now turn that shit up.
Just a reminder, we are not medical professionals. Mm-mm. There's a couple of dudes that want to explore mental health and things of that nature and make it a little lighthearted, I suppose. Today we have with us TJ Baudette. It's actually Lance connected us together, but TJ, why would you say you are still fucking here?
Life is good. Life is good. Finding the enjoyment in this, in the uncertainty, because there's a lot of uncertainty these days. Yeah. And I guess the high level answer on that is I was very certain about my perspective on things. I joined the military. I was in the Marines. That's how I know Lance. Going to war, coming home, living the American dream, so to speak, in corporate. And then hitting this place where I started to question everything because I was watching the fall of Afghanistan all over the news. So what was once my life's purpose is like, what is it? Like, what's there? So I started questioning a lot within myself. I went through a divorce, hit a very dark place to where maybe I have had suicidal ideations for a while or thoughts, like intrusive thoughts, but it got to a point where I was drinking one night and like gun pointed the wrong way. AR-15, like safety off, thumb on the trigger. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's when I was like, all right, like I no more lying to myself about where I'm at or what this is. And I started on this journey of like kind of running, and I went back to therapy. I started going to nature by myself, experienced psychedelics. I started to realize like, oh, it's kind of overcoming my own fear to see myself differently, to see the world differently. And in that, yeah, I still have the dark thoughts and the challenges and the uncertainty still there, but you know, I also see the beauty in the getting to be alive still.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's been a thing that I'm still trying to overcome and still trying to find. You know, I have a lot of trouble with that. Mm. And I guess that brings us here. You know, this is why I'm doing this whole thing, is hoping that that's kind of a guiding light to have these conversations and learn something from it. Cause I mean, both of you have been through, you know, traumatic things. And both have found some way to come out with a positive outlook on things, which is really difficult for me. So you said, just going on to one point, I'm just trying to picture and imagine that everything, you know, watching what your brothers go through and being at war and all of the crazy work that goes into that and the stress that come with it, and watching Afghanistan, you know, with, I mean, it was a couple of days, right? Like when it just kind of quickly went back to what it was, almost like it wasn't, you know, was no purpose for us to be there. That has to be something heavy.
Totally. And just to point out, Zach, your awareness of and your ability to speak from where you're at, I think is the most powerful step in letting the light in little by little. So that's cool. Nice.
I love
nice,
that. Dude.
Heck yeah. Wait, he doesn't listen to his own advice a lot, but he can actually, he is very emotionally intelligent on knowing what is what and why it's happening. But then he's just like, fuck doing something about it.
I mean, well, it's the same.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of a choice or not being, it's like literally not being able to. It's like maddening because I sit with it and I think about it and I learn about it and I've done this for years and years. And you go through all the steps and you're like, I understand it, but why can't I get out of it? Why am I still in this place? You know?
Yeah. If I get it so well, why is it still so hard?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's, and it becomes, then you kind of add to the sadness of it because you're going, I understand it, but I can't fucking bring myself out of it. You start feeling bad about, you know, the burden that it is on everyone else to have to constantly deal with or whatever. And it's a lot, man. Like it's, and I know there's the reason that I've always wanted to be so vocal is because in that space of being able to share and hopefully you know, I'm not saying give people answers, but give people steps while they're taking their own steps. Hopefully someone or anyone can learn from it and grow and come out of it, even if I haven't.
Yeah.
You know, like I want to put the rawest parts of it out there to say, hey, look, man, you're not the only one going through it. And that has helped me a lot to know that as well. Like there's been times when finding other people that suffer from it, I go, okay. Or people that pull through. Like it's hope. And that's hard to come by sometimes, you know.
For sure. I would say hope ends up being a big driving point there. And you said it, just the fact that making sure people who literally can't dissect the feelings and figure out what's what, letting them know that someone else is feeling that same way, and you're ultimately putting words to someone else's shadows.
Right. And in hopes, in what you're hoping in the end is that we're all just going on this fucking journey together. You know, especially with this medium, putting it out on a podcast, is like everyone who listens to is suffering. You may not figure it out today or tomorrow, and I might not either, but we can all go on this thing fucking together.
Well, yeah.
So,
yeah. The
journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step.
Yep. You continue to throw that out, and I continue to love when you do, man. That makes sense. It's got to be reminded.
My journey of 1,000 miles starts with a full battery.
Well, it, you know, it's one of those things where I totally lost my train of thought. Like, I just smoked weed and I didn't. I wish I did. I had to remember. Anyway, back to Afghanistan, like just processing that, you know, I can imagine that that's difficult. And I've had this conversation because we've had a few military guests and Ty as well. I understand that the military's job is to go do a job. You know, this is your job. There's bad people in the world that you have to do certain things. But there's so many things that in hindsight you realize that we probably shouldn't have done or that we shouldn't have been involved in. And I always wonder each time I have a person on, how do you process that? Like, what are your thoughts on that type of thing?
Maybe I'll come back to my thoughts on that, because my perspective on like what's good and what's bad in people has definitely changed. But I think for what I saw for the month as Afghanistan was kind of imploding, it felt like it was like this month long process that was like continuously getting worse and worse and worse. And I saw people like generals and politicians, and they were saying, you should be proud of your service. The withdrawal is a success. And it didn't appear to me that that was the reality that I was seeing. I was like, how are we going to call this a success? Like there's Afghans falling off airplanes. Like,
yeah, that was a crazy video.
Crazy, right? So, and I found myself getting angry that their words weren't matching the truth as I was perceiving it. So as I went through this year of like growth, what I realized is like you can go so deep down any rabbit hole of like religion, science, like anything, and there's still an unknown. Like as much as the Pope or religious leaders want to stand up and be like, this is the way, this is absolutely certain. Like we're all humans and no one actually knows. Mm-hmm. So if we can go to the edge of that and we still need to put our faith in something, that this is either like this whole experience is either love or like there's something of fear. We make that choice that like, yo, we may be going through some dark shit, but that choice in itself is empowering. And we could bring that choice back to where we're at right now when we're going through that dark shit. Like, that's what I started to realize as I tuned out the noise of what I wanted other people to say or believe or tell me, and to just discover my own ability to light my way in the darkness. And I still experience it. Like, it still gets dark. And I just try to figure out different ways to express myself that, like, liberates me from what seems like madness in the world.
It takes a lot of courage to look at it that way, because it takes a lot of time looking in the mirror. And I think as the world being a better place in general really starts in a mirror with everyone.
Yeah, that's a big thing the world needs right now. Because so many people, sorry, not everyone, is, you know, it's your responsibility to say it this way or I'm mad, or it's your responsibility to, you know, be okay with this or I'm mad. And I'm just like, how about everyone just take a beat and sort out their own shit? And become awesome with who you are as a person, you know, get, you know, fist bump with you for a little bit. And then by the time you come out, if you're happy with who you are, the rest of the world's going to be a far more rose-colored.
Right.
It's powerful.
And it's in a world where everyone is so tribal about everything. Everyone's on a fucking team. And everybody just goes right down the list of that team's things and hates on everything outside of that team. And I get the need for inclusion or the need for community and so on and so forth. But
camaraderie.
But it's misguided us to put up with and even promote heinous things and ideas. You know.
Well, I mean, shit. Offended is the word. I'm triggered. I'm like, that's your fucking fault.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. You being offended is how you chose to interpret the things that were being said.
It's true.
Like, that is a thing you need to crack open the schematics and tinker around, because while I'm not trying to offend anybody, it is not my responsibility to manage your triggers.
Well,
that is your responsibility as an adult to, these things bother me, either let them bother me or avoid situations where they'll happen.
Yeah. You both fought for all of our rights, and one of those rights is not the right to not be offended.
No.
That was not on the list of things.
Mm-mm. Freedom of speech, that first one, man. Yep. Like, I died for your right to say shit I don't agree with. If I don't agree with it, that's my prerogative. And if I can't lay out X, Y, and Z as to why you should believe my side, then we can agree to disagree because you have freedom to do that. Never shut you up because I don't like what you're saying.
It may be the single most important right that we have. The most important right that we have.
Yeah.
And I think history has shown that the minute you give people the power of censorship or the power of control of speech, eventually it'll be used against you. You might be on the right team right now that wants to stop something being said, but then the next thing, what you're saying is going to be deleted. And it's just, it has to be free across the board, hate speech included. Like, mm-hmm. The only way to beat bad speech is with good speech.
I was going to say, a lot of unpopular opinions at the time are the norm now. So it's just like, what side of history are you going to be on in the grand scheme if, like, you follow the mob or you think for yourself? Like, sometimes the mob's right. But, like, usually if a mob is formed, they probably crisscross some shit along the way. And I'm not buying half of the shit they're spewing.
Well, and what's morally and culturally right is different depending on your geographical location and what on a lot of factors. I mean, you know, going back to Afghanistan, like, I'm sure, you know, at what point are the people, I mean, a better example is what's going on in Gaza. It's like there's not really a clear cut side to get on. There's things on both sides where you're like, I understand your point. I understand what you're doing or why you're not. Who's right? It's crazy.
Exactly. So if we are just harming ourselves by trying to determine who's right individually, like, then why are we even doing it? And I'm not saying ignore the problems of the world.
Right.
But dude, I don't know what's true as it comes through my phone. I have no idea. There's deep fakes. There's AI that can, like, what's real as it comes through this? Why am I going to allow this to emotionally dictate how my day goes?
Yeah.
Yet it's very difficult not to get sucked into it because our attention is valuable. And so people are vying for our attention because they then perceive themselves as safe as they make money off our attention. You know, like, it's just, we're in these systems that are driven so blindly sometimes by money that it prevents people from seeing themselves clearly.
Yeah. And it's altered people's reality in a way that they really don't know who the fuck they are. I mean, it's always been difficult to figure that out. But, like, looking at my kids, my daughter's 19 and she makes money off TikTok doing stuff, doing, like, makeup tutorials and stuff like that. And it's like her perception of reality and she has she's pretty well grounded because of me. But, like, even as hard as I've worked at that, she still struggles. And my son and, like, the world they're living in because of everything coming at you all the time. It's a crazy fucking world. As adults, you would think we could separate ourselves from that, but it's not easy.
It's also difficult to be a human. Yeah, it's a weird time in history because you have every facet of information at your disposal almost all day, every day. And you hear something as simple as some girl explaining that they just got thrown down the stairs and kicked out of a bar. I just saw a video about that. And you're just like, oh, yeah, well, fuck that bar. Go burn that bar to the ground. And then freaking immediately the bar releases the security footage. That was her being gently, like, she wasn't even being held when she walked out. They just escorted her out. No hands on her or nothing. And I'm just like, everyone's knee-jerk reaction to listen to the most outrageous explanation of something or the most egregious offense possible rather than do any amount of research and figure, you know, make your own decision about it after you've gotten whatever amount of information you can find. Like, everyone just mob mentality. It all comes back to, all right, we'll light the torches. Let's go. Where's my pitchfork?
It's become guilty until proven innocent.
Mm-hmm.
With cancel culture and all of that, it's like, it is definitely knee jerk. It's jump on board with whatever everybody's screaming about. And it's a lot of virtue signaling. It's a lot of people trying to cover up for their own inadequacies by shitting on someone else, especially famous people.
Word. There's a couple of actors that I'm like, man, just I'll go see you in a movie or a show. Like, I need to not listen to anything you say when you're you. There's a couple where I'm just like, oh God, like, huh? How are you this delusional?
Dude, there's scumbags everywhere, man. I mean,
I just immediately thought of a couple. I'm not calling anyone out, obviously, but
let's do it. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm a fan of his work. I just needed to stop following his Instagram.
and then, boom, that's your choice.
Yeah, exactly. And then now the part that pisses me off isn't a thing. And if you're and you're a professional actor, so I pay you to dance monkey dance in front of the camera, anyways. Like, I don't come to you for political opinions. I don't come to you for how I should vote next time around. I play that part, please, sir. Like, and play it hard because I'd like to enjoy this movie. Like, or whatever, you know.
If we see it as, like, they're doing something for our entertainment.
It's what they're doing.
They're doing while also allowing them to that it is for their expression as well.
Well, yeah, obviously. Yeah. I mean, expressing through your art and all that other stuff. I get that.
They are just as their opinion, whatever it is, as wild as we think it is, their opinion is just as valid as whatever it is that we are saying.
Right.
So, and it's in that space that we can then become more free of it by like, yeah, whatever. I'm just going
to
not follow.
Oh, they have every right to feel how they feel. And because they're wildly famous, they have a platform to say it. And just on more occasions that of the people I'm referring to, it's just so blatantly wrong. It's not even like believing what you want to believe for sure. But like, if you have the information blatantly wrong, it just goes back to what I was saying. It's like, you have the ability to find out all of it. We don't have we don't have to do a pilgrimage to the libraries of Alexandria to learn something. Like, you turn on your phone and figure out more about the subject that you're blatantly ignorant on, yet yelling from the mountaintops from. Like,
but it's echo chambers, man. Like, so many people live in an echo chamber.
And that's why it's tough, because even that information that we do research on is like, is that it?
Yeah.
Like, is that accurate? Like, we can go layers into this and it's still that doubt. It's like, huh, okay.
I would say I'm dead center politically. I don't side with either side. I think both are terrible for the most part. But I grew up more on the Democrat side of things, but not really knowing much. And at some point I was just listening to that and I started stepping into like Steven Crowder and Ben Shapiro, and I started listening to people from the other side, and I realized I didn't agree with everything the Democrats I listened to said, and I didn't agree with everything that the Republicans said, but pretty much everyone kind of wants the same shit. They just don't know how exactly to get there.
Yeah.
No, that's the disagreement. Yet you would think that these people are on complete opposite ends of the spectrum on everything, but the way they fight with each other. It's crazy.
Yeah, the fact that no one is really, there's a handful of people striving for bipartisanship, And but everyone else is, no, we're gonna win. No, you're gonna, like, you're gonna be under my boot. Like, I'm just, no. You're both supposed to be, you know, locking arms and fighting for us. Like, what are you doing? You've lost the plot.
How stupid is it in the age of the internet that we only have one of two choices, really? Like, that's the best system we can come up with, is you get two people to choose from. It's crazy. I know there's other people, but we all know that they're not going to get anywhere. It's the whole system would have to be changed. But the point is, going back to just people in general getting stuck on stuff, and you're right, it's like you have to take in information when it comes to trying to figure out the truth from every fucking angle. You know, you have to be able to take it in from every angle and take little bits and pieces and try to make the most truth you possibly can out of it.
Totally. And then balancing that with a time when it's more appropriate just to close the computer and be like, you know what? This issue actually might not be worth my time right now.
Right.
Like, yeah, it's a balance.
Yeah, you're going to get bent around the axle and ruin your whole day, week, month over something that either you're just sitting there not doing anything about.
Yeah.
Like, or there's not a single solitary thing you could do. Like, a lot of the people who are all up in arms about X, Y, or Z could very well link up with different charities or organizations and, you know, support money, volunteer time, whatever it is. They can do something about it if they were to educate themselves and make moves towards that goal. But everyone wants to just sit there and fume until the headline says something they'd rather it say. And I won't let this little 7x4-inch thing ruin my day. Like, I got the dog to go play fetch with. I got the kids to show them how to live life. I got all kinds of stuff to maintain my time. I don't need to sit here and freaking bury my face in all this negativity that's out there.
There's weed, video games, Pornhub. There's so much fun.
There's
stuff.
New video games every couple of months, man. Plus, you haven't got all the way through all the Pornhub yet.
No, like, I'm working on it,
though. I was going to say, there's facets you haven't gotten to yet, man.
I know. I'm trying to find them, dude. Like,
I got the whole set.
Have you guys ever heard of Ground News?
Ground News?
Yeah, it's an app and a website. And they kind of have a good thing going on. They basically, every important article, they post the left's take, the right's take, and kind of the center take. And they sort of evaluate what you're reading based on where it leans. So it gives you the opportunity to kind of pick what angle you want to read about. It also, like, if you pay for it, I sound like I'm doing an ad right now. I would love to have Ground News as a sponsor. But
I like the idea.
If you pay for it, it gives you all kinds of statistics on the leanings of the shit you read, and, like, it's really, really cool. It's a brilliant idea.
It sounds more like we've been saying, a more 360 view of whatever all is happening.
Yep.
Because every time you get something, where'd it come from? All right, what do they feel like? What does that outlet feel like? Like, what is, are they way right? Are they way left? Are they dead center? Now you're like, oh my God, it's this, this, and that. Like, you got to really dissect the source before you can give a shit at all about the headline. So that's rad. I like that idea a lot. Whoever came up with that's a darn genius.
Yeah, if you're listening, check it out. It's worth looking into, because
I'm definitely going to.
The problem, though, kind of going back to what we were saying, though, is that often people, this is something I learned from Rogan, going back to what we were talking about earlier, people get attached to something and they're afraid to change their stance.
Yes. Like,
they just dig their heels in, and even when they're proved wrong, they just stick with it because they're too proud to just say, oh, I was wrong, but now I know this is the right way, or whatever.
We talked about that on a previous episode at some point. Yeah, that's mostly men. If just in my experience, but, like, given the information that is accurate and good, like, you got just there. No, I'm this because my father was this, just like his father before him. And I'm team this. And I'm just like, no, if team that gives me enough information that I'm like, ooh, team that is what I'm thinking. I'm on team that now. Like, get me all the new merch.
Yeah.
I was like, I will never be too proud to say learning has occurred. And now with the information, like, how can you believe that when you said this 2 years ago? And I'm like, if you're the same person you were 2 years ago, why are you pointing fingers at me? Like, you've got work to do, bitch.
Yeah. I mean, it's scary to let go too. It's very scary to let go of ideas that our ego hangs on to, because it's like, if I'm not this, what am I? And that's like a very scary thing.
Yeah. Taking the ego out of it is a huge thing.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And I think people are just afraid. And when we don't acknowledge our own fears, if we don't acknowledge where we're at, like Zach, like that's powerful, man. That's why it's fucking powerful. Cause it's like, all right, yo, no judgment. I just see you now. Like, and now I feel more comfortable opening up about where I go to or where I've been. But when we don't acknowledge that, we're not acknowledging our own fear. We pretend like we know, and it's the ego clinging to what it perceives as safety. And then when that safety gets shaken up because you see the war and you believed one thing, and now it's like, oh shit, maybe it wasn't what I thought it was when I was there. It's quite scary. So then surrendering into that fear and communicating where we're at, I think is the most powerful. It's the most liberating thing I've experienced.
You're preaching to the choir for sure. On that. But there's a lot of people that aren't in the choir on that one.
I'm aware of that.
There's a lot of people in the congregation who need to hear it. Oh my God, you had it. And never mind, you said it. My point on the war is you just helped make my point is my perception of what I was doing when I was there, when I was 17, 18, 19, 20 was I'm only here for man to my left, man to my right. Mm-hmm. Everything above that, opium versus political needs versus terrorism versus whatever, that is above my pay grade. Men and women are going, men and women are dying. Therefore, I'm there doing everything I can to minimize that. So whenever the pullout happened, it was my feelings immediately went to the families of the fallen. My worry was that they were going to immediately think that their loved one died in vain and that their loved one, their sacrifice was absolutely shat on. And I'll tell you what I try to tell any of them that'll talk to me about it is that their sacrifice will never have been in vain because it holds. At no point does the pullout mean that when so-and-so died, they were alone. They weren't doing the job. They weren't protecting their man to the left and the right. Like, at no point does that change. So when the pullout made me angry and sad for families rather than my kinsmen, because it didn't shake my view of what we were doing there anyways.
Dude, that's so powerful.
But I appreciate you helping me make that point because I've never been able to articulate it. But that's exactly you just snapped that absolutely into perspective for me. It's something I've known, but now I can articulate it, which that's exciting. Thank you very much for that.
And then you right there is just reinforcing the other side of this, that it's not about like shaming ourselves and like trying to correct the future because we did wrong in the past. No, man, like we were just doing the best. We've always just been doing the best we could with what we knew at the time. So I'm not Monday morning quarterbacking this to point fingers. I'm saying if we had 7,000 service members die in combat, 7,000 plus, over 7,000, right? Yeah, and we've had 30,000 plus kill themselves since returning home. Maybe we're not approaching this from a perspective that's actually large enough to see it. And the perspective that's large enough to see it is like you just said, dude, it's giving ourselves the credit for being the badass of you were there for the men to your left and your right during it. And then now we're having these conversations like, yeah, how do we work through our shit that we may have bypassed while we were experiencing it? And it's the conversations. It's just the openness to new possibilities.
Well, because, yeah, that is something the military, VA, everybody, all of it needs to do better. The government, steps and taps is the classes you have to take in order to get out of the military, Zach, and viewers. And the steps and taps classes don't prepare you for shit. it's like high school where they don't teach home ec anymore. They don't teach how to do your taxes. Right. They don't teach this, this, and that. So life is like life punches you in the nuts, and you're like, but Pythagorean's theorem. And freaking steps and taps was just like how to dress for job interviews and shit like that. And I'm like, no, like, you need to make them go see a psych, like, and not to deem them crazy, but to make them comfortable with the concept of talking about what they did, didn't do, were required to do, happened to them, whatever, while they were in, so that when they get out, that practice becomes policy and they keep working on themselves the whole time they're out. Freaking, and then support systems in the like, where, you know, networking, give me a phone tree, like old school, like the duty handbook, hand me a packet of dudes' numbers, because like if I'm alone in a dark room and like, oh man, no one gets it, like, boom, here's 300 to 800 motherfuckers who get it, like, and someone's awake, like, so let's talk, give me that camaraderie, that friendship back, because that's the main thing everyone misses.
Yeah,
you go from like, at no point during our point A to our point B are any of these 100 motherfuckers gonna let something happen to me. Like, if something goes down, they're gonna avenge me, they're gonna stop it from happening, they're gonna shield me from it. Like, but here it's just like, oh, no one cares if I get to my point B at all. Like, so you just feel alone. You feel alone in a dark room. So they need to figure out all of the exit stuff big time.
There's still such a huge stigma attached to especially men's mental health.
Word.
In general, not just in the military, but it makes it harder for people to go get help when they need it. And even, dude, every fucking body should go to therapy. Therapy is not just a treatment. It's helpful to everyone.
It's going, getting your old changed. You just gotta do certain things all the time. After 40, the doctor's got to get a little more intimate with you. It should be part of your annual checkup. You work on your blood. You work on your bones. You work on your organs. You work on your belly. You work on your muscles. Why won't you work on the thing that runs the whole fucking thing?
Yeah. Like,
that'd be getting a car and only doing the tires and the drivetrain and never looking under the hood.
it's funny, because as a citizen, listening to you guys talk about your feelings before, during, and after, even as a citizen, it's really easy to separate, where at some point you're going, I don't support a lot of the things that our military has done, but I support the people doing it. I support the people on the mm-hmm. ground, the people that are fighting for it. I don't, they're very easy to separate for me.
I mean,
a fucking moron, but that doesn't make me upset with the people that are doing the job they have to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then the dudes on the ground,
right.
We don't got many war criminals left. Like, I mean, you see the movies of the dudes, you know, taking stuff a little too far or whatever, but like, that shit gets nipped in the bud by their peers with the quickness. Like, the guys on the ground are doing only what they're told. If what they're being told was, you know, whispered through 6 layers of fucking subterfuge and bullshit, that's not my problem on the ground. Like, I'm doing what I was fucking told to. So all these people freaking who want to bury all the soldiers and not even look twice at the politician or whoever was rubbing elbows 8 echelons up.
Yeah.
I'm just like, it's up there with don't kill the messenger. Like, bitch, I'm just telling you what it is. Like, I didn't say it.
So TJ, going back to something you were saying, the courage it takes to try to kind of live your own way, and you were saying like we were talking about not being able to step out of what you believe or your ideas, having the courage to do that. You made a big step. You kind of mentioned earlier about you know, leaving your regular job, and I know you did some traveling and kind of even with the psychedelics, like going down that path to kind of squash the ego. And figure all that out. What was that part of your journey like?
Seconded.
Just leaning into the uncertainty. And there's, I receive, thank you for like saying it's courageous. And I feel that and I receive that. And yeah, it's because it's like kind of off the beaten path. It's just creating our own path as we go. And I see you guys creating your own paths in your own unique ways as well. At the same time, it's also the simplest thing that I can do. You know, like, I joined the military because we all want a better future. So I thought that was the way. Like, we are good. That there's evil out there. We kill them. World gets better. I just don't. Then I started to think that, like, maybe that's not how it happens. I don't know. I started to open to new possibilities that is not the way. That maybe fighting begets more fighting, and both in my life, and I'm not trying to, you know, like Anyway.
No, if you want peace, prepare for war.
If you want peace, what is it? Sic vis,
whatever. Yeah, si vis pacem para bellum.
If you want peace, prepare for war. Yes. And if we are actually preparing for war and putting so much money and energy into the defense industry, that shit's got to come out somewhere. So, like, it's not a surprise that we're bombing Yemen right now and dropping bombs. It's like these things are just like runaway. They can be runaway trains without the awareness there. And I'm not saying bombing Yemen is right or wrong. I'm just saying that, like, it's not a surprise that just a couple years after 20 years of war, we are still just fucking dropping bombs in a foreign country that artificial intelligence is using now to target. It's like, yo, we all have smartphones. We all have computers in our vehicles. Do we not see this? Like, what happens if we just blindly keep going? So a huge part of this, right? And this ties in to, like, the courage, so to speak, but it's also just so simple. Dude, I'm trying to balance my expression into my phone in real life, just, like, integrate all parts of myself, because it's the simplest thing I can do in a world that simply doesn't make sense when we think about it logically sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of times.
A lot
There's
of times.
There's some plot holes. There's some continuity errors in the tale being told right now.
I think for a lot of, you know, citizens in this country, the whole path of, you know, go to school, go to college, get out, you have a family, you have a job. They don't stop, you know, the majority of this country should quit their job and travel and do psychedelics. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's people don't have, they're too afraid to step out of what they've done or what they've believed to be the right way to do things, because that's what they're told, to be a productive member of society. And, you know, I think it's everyone's mental health has suffered for it.
Well, that's Einstein's definition of insanity, is doing the same thing and expecting a different result.
Yeah.
I was going to say, most people, that's the thing, is they get stuck in their path, their rut, and don't, like, so far down, they don't even see that there's other options sometimes. Yeah. And then, you know, if you can see over the fence, you're like, oh, that's scary. I can't do that. And you're, that would be way too much work, and that would be too awkward, or people would look at me funny or whatever. Like, just do what's best for you.
Mm-hmm. And as we selfishly do what's best for us, other people can then tune in and learn from. We could always lead from where we're at, even if we're in a dark place, just by calling it out that we are in a dark place. Boom, it's real. Now we're connected. Now we're moving. And I feel like as technology continues to integrate with society, it's people that are willing to continue to try new things, continue to be open to letting go of what we were clinging to. You know, I'm sure, dude, I look back at what I said a year ago at times on social media. I'm like, oh, it's so cringe. You know, I know 10 years I'm going to look back on stuff I'm saying right now and be like, oh my gosh. But, like, that's just the evolution of this and continuing to grow. And I feel like those that are willing to do it are going to lead into the future.
Well, we all know people that are in their 40s, 50s, 60s who just didn't grow. And you, when you see someone who does, it is a powerful thing to see people growing. And it is a constant. If you're a good human being, you're going to grow till the day you die. There's no end point.
You stop learning that you might as well die.
Right.
It's the same thing. Yeah,
there's just no point where you're like, well, I know enough things. I know all the things there is to know, and I am the perfect person. But I think the fear, like you hit it on the head a while ago, people cling to what people need to hear. You are not your ideas. That's not you. And I think a lot of people think that this is my ideas. This is what I believe. This is what I think. And that's who I am. That's not who you are.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, and then, damn it. Lost it. Sorry. I had it the whole time. I was holding on to it the whole time. As soon as I started to talk, fuck.
You let go. Nice work, dude.
I'm the worst. Oh, so, yeah, no, sorry. You said it with the selfishness. That's the problem. You said it was selfish. I was like, oh, yeah, that's the kind of selfishness. That's good selfishness. And I was like, that's what's wrong with the world today is everyone has the wrong kind of selfishness. Everyone's just like, it's all about me. Fuck everyone else. And I'm like, and no, be selfish. Handle you.
Exactly.
Do some self-care. Tinker around. Learn this. Travel to there. Get that trauma out of there. Like, and then that little bit of selfishness will inspire others, and you will be a light in someone else's life because you are evolving into the best version you're supposed to be anyways. And then, yeah, everyone's got the wrong brand of selfishness right now. I'm excited that I remembered.
That's good.
It's not that hard to be a good person. It's not that hard, yet it's so rare.
Drink water, smile, wave sometimes.
I've said this on the pod before, but like I've been telling my kids since they were little, like if you're on the highway and nobody lets you over, you still let people over. That's the right way to be. Doesn't matter. You don't get to justify being an asshole because other people are assholes. You just be that person and rise above.
Empathy. I hate being the person who's not being let in like so much. And as opposed, yeah, exactly. The flip side of I'm going to get these fuckers back. Like no, I'm not going to make someone deal with that bullshit because I had to deal with it and it sucked.
Well,
y'all are on it today.
And just by sheer, you know, numbers, the person that you decide not to let over might be a person that lets people over. So
yeah, you might be cutting off a nice person because someone scorned you.
Right. It's like the whole all men suck thing. Like, no, you had some shitty dudes and they sucked. That doesn't mean all men suck.
Open yourself up to the possibility. He said possibility now that you have terrible taste in men.
It's true. You go across the board. All trans people don't suck. All black people don't suck. There's certain people that groups of people do not
all
like.
All straight white guys don't suck.
They don't. All straight white hetero. Well, that is straight. Whatever.
Straight and hetero. Both of them.
Both. Dog.
Double down. I'm so straight on both of them. Nah, that's.
I look at
you got guys like that though. They're like, yeah, triple down on it, man. I need them to know.
I judge people on an individual basis, and I give everyone the benefit of the doubt till they give me a reason not to.
Yeah,
it's not that hard. Just treat people with respect that you want.
If I meet enough assholes of a specific flavor, though, I will start to think that X, Y, and Z is a problem.
Yeah,
for instance, the University of Florida. I've met far too many D-bags that think blue goes with orange and gay goers and all that crap. And I'm just like, oh, God, I know like two awesome people who went to UF. And the rest are just. So no, sometimes it's like, oh, man, you're wearing blue and orange. You suck. So that's something I need to work on.
There you go. Boom. That identification at the end there. Right. Yeah. We have a choice. It's like, well, we could avoid people from UF. We can, or we can go out of our way and maybe,
find more of the good ones.
No.
Just keep opening. Just keep opening to it. Maybe, and something may reveal itself that will help us on our journey.
Yeah. Oh, Indiana Jones.
I do believe people, others do have our answers, so to speak, as we open. If we're not hiding behind the masks that we tend to wear, and we tend to wear them for like safety, to make money, whatever.
Whatever it is.
Because we've been accepted. Yeah, to be accepted, right? Because like humans, it was back in the day, mentality. If we got kicked out of the tribe, that was like certain death. So now we fear getting kicked out of the tribe. I get it. Yet I believe if we take the mask down, like other people have like the little synchronicities or the wisdom or the something that it's just like, dude. Yes, glad we talked, and I looked beyond my perceptions of a label.
Well, so the tribe mentality thing—that's another one that a lot of people have issue with—is you're in the same gaggle, friendship, weekend parties, whatever that you were in high school, and no one's growing. No one, like, if y'all are all helping each other, of course, if you're all evolving as a team, yeah. But like, freaking. You see some people like that where it's just like all my boys are this team and all my boys are, you know, we got to go drink. If I don't go drink, they'll think I'm a loser or I'm a sellout or I'm something. Or if we don't go do this, I'm, oh no, like, oh man. if they don't want to hang out, who am I going to hang out with? And I'm just like, yeah. Some people are in the wrong tribe. And it comes down to the being in the rut and the individual who doesn't want to change because it's comfortable and easy. It's scary to jump ship and go find people who are now your like-minded people.
Yes, because, dude.
Yeah, sometimes people are masking and freaking they have to stay this thing they were 10 years ago because all their people are still where they were 10 years ago. And I'm like if you're with people who are still wearing their letter jackets and freaking their class rings from high school, maybe step out and meet some new people, like, because they might be holding you the fuck down.
Yeah, totally, man. And so we could talk about technology and like using artificial intelligence in war. Yeah, there's that side of it. The beauty in technology, the beauty in technology is that it opens up connection. Like we're talking because of like the internet, you know? And I think some of my ideas that I'm saying, I know that they're far out. And before I started speaking it, I was like, all right, like, is this going to be accepted by people that I have known that thanked me for my service? And a lot of times I have come to find out that answer is no, and that's okay.
Right.
What it has, but just by speaking it and like overcoming that fear of being banished by the tribe, it's also led to some amazing connections and opportunities.
Probably deeper ones.
Yeah. Yes. Where I get more wisdom and reflect and like learn. Yep. Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, yeah, because a friendship, just like any relationship, is supposed to be mutually beneficial, not you both gain financially or whatever from it, but like you're supposed to fill gaps in each other. You're supposed to inspire each other. You're supposed to want each other to strive and thrive and, you know, get to the next level or whatever your goals are. Like your people are supposed to be in your corner no matter what on that stuff. And be a support systems as well. And that's another one too, where you try to step out and do something and your closest boys are like, oh man, what? No, my cousin's little brother tried that and he failed. And you know, you just got naysayers in your damn ear. You got to find the right people who are going to compliment you.
Go ahead.
The more we can be ourselves, the more we're willing to, the more we will find the right people. I think that's, I think you're right on with that. And I also think that people aren't keeping us, the people that were in our circles that we are ready to elevate, they may not be ready to elevate yet. That's okay.
Right.
They are not purposely trying to, like, it's like a subconscious thing, you know? They're not like purposely saying things to bring you down.
To derail you. They could be coming from the purest part of their heart, for sure.
But and it's like, just coming from their own fear that they don't
which
see.
Which ends up being scarier for you too, because there's a lot of situations like that where you have to break it off with people who didn't necessarily do anything wrong. And that comes back to the selfishness, the overall good brand of selfishness, where sometimes for you to grow and prosper and do your, sometimes you got to cut the weeds around your dang base.
Yeah, boundaries.
And if you got to leave good people behind sometimes, like, that hurts, that sucks. But like, I'm sorry, if you're letting these things rule your life and that's where you're going to stay, I can't stay there with you. I'm sorry. But I'll always look back on the time we had and smile. Like,
yes.
It's really tough to find the most, how do I say this?
The most
brutally honest part of yourself that you can, because I feel like I'm a very open and honest person. But then I also know that there are still levels of things where I'm afraid to, talk about, in a sense, where the deepest and darkest parts of like my depression are, I don't think I even give the fullest scope of how fucking terrible it is, even though I talk about it very openly. And some of that is still fear. Sometimes it's really hard to distinguish the difference between fear and love.
Wow.
I think there's a lot of circumstances. My daughter right now is 19 and she, you know, has kind of bounced around to different things, is talking about moving to LA, and like my choice to say I think it's a bad move, I don't know if that's fear or love. I really don't. I know it's love, but I don't know if fear is more of a motivating factor and I should just let go, or if I should, you know, it's, so there are a lot of circumstances I feel like fear and love And one of the Jim Carrey did a speech about that at something about the everything you do is out of either fear or love. And that makes so much fucking sense.
Yes. Oh, and it's his dinner time. I'm sorry. I unmuted as soon as I yelled at my daughter. I apologize.
You want to dinner right now?
Yes. Everything that you want is right on the other side of fear. Like you literally got to go for it.
Yeah.
There was another metaphor that I thought was freaking awesome. Fear is a river that is miles wide but inches deep.
Mm.
So it looks like something formidable that you can't mess with, but the second you step into it, you're like, oh, I got this.
Yeah, and taking the step is, especially, dude, I see what you're saying. Like the fear around letting go a child to navigate their way in this world, like with the balance of that, I see what you're saying.
It's easier when they're small, you know, because then even though no one really knows how to parent, like
everyone's at best winging it,
right? You do your best, but you feel like there's always, I don't know, man, like this point of letting go is like, wow, man, like I can remember being so young and thinking that I was an adult when you're not. Like, she's not a fucking adult legally. She's still a kid in a lot of ways. And like I think you're jumping the gun on some things, but also like that takes courage on her part.
Yeah.
And that's also a beautiful thing. So it's really hard to find balance when it gets to that point.
And as you're close to the situation, do you know that it's coming from a place of ignorance and just blissful youth and naivete? Or is it just you're scared because she's going so far away and you won't be right there the whole time, but you know she knows what it is she's doing and what it will entail?
I think it's more the former, because I've lived a lot of her life away from her, so it's not just the physical proximity. I think she's running instead of going to something, and not from me, but from life here, and she's not happy. And I think instead of like establishing things and then making a smart move, she thinks if I just jump, I'm going to be happy. And that's I think a valid point. But again, like there's so many layers to it. I don't know if the proper thing is to keep pushing on the fact that I don't think she should do it, or if I should just let go and be here when it falls apart, or if it falls apart. You know,
so two things. So the I've my whole life, the best thing you can do for your adult life is to move away from home.
Yeah.
And just, yes, it comes back to the pack mentality. If you stay in the same square 10 miles you grew up in, it's too small of a pot. You're going to stunt your own growth. Even if you go back, even if you put roots back down in the next neighborhood over, like to get out there and get those experiences and take the chances and learn what you need to learn to know that the roots are what you want, or if wings or whatever. With that, I think that her going there, the only options, there's no losing. I think she will either win or she will learn. And then from the learning, she'll move on to what it is she knows for sure she wants.
Yeah.
Plus, no, is there another place that you can think of where there's more options to figure out what it is you like? That's not a podunk South Dakota with one thing, you know? You can go do all the things.
I have my opinions on California and LA in general. I don't think that it's a great place for anyone right now. And the thing is, she already took this leap. She went to LA a couple of years back and stayed there. Or no, I guess last summer. Stayed there with a 19-year-old rapper she was dating at the time, and I felt the same then, and it fell apart, and she came back, and then I'm like, I don't know, man. It's just a lot. It's a lot. And here I am back where I grew up. You know, I'm sick of being in the Midwest in general, so I get her feeling, you know.
I see how you were talking about the depths of the darkness that you experienced at times, and that flowed into like the situation with your daughter moving away or not moving away. And like, shit, Ty, that was some solid advice right there. And like, yeah, you know, we know the importance of like breaking out and like experiencing new things. What the right answer is in this situation, I have no idea. Yeah. But again, dude, like your willingness to like meet the emotions where they're at, and whatever comes is like you continue to let go in like in a loving way, and maybe explore new ways of how that letting go happens. Yeah. It's going to continue to reveal itself and work out because of your ability to call it where it is and the emotions.
And I feel like when it comes to your kids, man, like at some point they're going to do what the fuck they want to do. And you can either keep a strong relationship and be there, be able to be in their life and be a rock through even if you know they're going to put themselves through something difficult, or you can isolate yourself or isolate them by pushing and pushing and pushing. So it's a difficult balance. And I think I've done a pretty good job so far. This one I'm really struggling with. I've been in a pretty dark place for several months, and it's a couple of things have happened recently that have made it more dark. And then I had this big conversation with my 15-year-old son about my daughter, and he was really spot on with a bunch of shit that was hard to hear. And it made me think a little bit, and I'm really proud of his wisdom as a 15-year-old, but man, he like dug into me a little bit. I was like, all right, I see you.
That's cool. I see you.
I was pretty dark for the rest of the, like it was yesterday, and me and my roommate were supposed to go watch this band. And I'm like, I don't think I'm up to it, man. I'm having a really rough day. But then I went and kind of had a chance to like process shit a little bit. And like, it was a good conversation. I'm really proud of him for like, you know, confronting me on some shit, and like, and did it in a very loving way.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. I was really proud of it.
I was going to say, I didn't know how to talk to my father in a remotely confrontational way that would be effective until I was at least in my 20s. I don't think I had legs at the time. Like, because I mean, the few times I tried to express myself, it came out all wrong when I was a teenager, and it resulted in me getting reprimanded. I'm not a battered child, but I've had hands put on me before. I assure you I earned it every single fucking time. But yeah, like, I'm sorry. I don't know what all he got into, obviously. And I'm not asking you to get into it, because that sounded like he got some deep personal on you in a few situations. But the metaphor came to mind when you were talking about her going, and the fear of it being you're the man who built this ship. You put every rivet in, you machined every part. You put it together, and now you're not allowed to go on the maiden voyage. Right. So you have to just sit there in harbor and trust your work and trust your daughter and the lessons that you put into her, she's going to end up making the right decisions along the way.
Yeah.
And you being like what you said, she'll always know that you're there as a, not so much a safety net, but someone to fall back on for at the very least support.
Yeah.
Like, because if you forebode it,
right? Well,
then even if she fails, you won't know if she failed or not,
right?
Because she ain't gonna communicate that to you anymore.
Yeah,
and that's terrifying.
That was some of my son's conversation. One couple of things particularly, he was like, you know, the way you're approaching this is just not working. He's like, just do something different. I don't know what that is.
Anything,
but the way that you're doing this is not working. And I'm like, damn. I'm like, and these are simple things that we all know and we even say to each other, but sometimes hearing it from someone in a particular situation, you go, holy shit, dude, that's so profound in its simplicity.
And you're so 15. Like, damn, I'm raising the shit out of these kids. Also, if he's blowing your mind like that at 15, like, you're doing a good job.
Oh, he's got his.
I feel like your ships, you know, I feel like they hold water.
He's got his issues to work on, as we all do. He's a smart kid, though. Man, he's got an IQ through the roof. And Tourette's, which is a good time.
Huzzah.
He's kind of like, it's not the same as it was. It started out with like visible tics, you know, like movements. And then he went through, which only like a third of Tourette's patients get. He went through the cussing Tourette's for a while. It was so fucking fun, dude. It was just I'm like the, you know, obviously when we're in a fucking restaurant and he says something insane, you're like, what can you do but laugh? Like he can't control it, you know.
He called the waitress a cock juggling thunder cunt.
I remember one night I picked him up after a gig. We were going to get some Jack in the Box because they were open late, and he goes, this is when the cussing Tourette's like was only, you know, a couple months old, and he's like, Dad, when I was sitting at home playing video games, I shouted something out that I don't know if it's a thing, and I go, what? And he said, I shouted 12 inch cock, and I go, not in white people.
Statistically speaking, nay.
You don't have to worry about that, dog.
None of your business, sir. None of your business.
So it's just like shit like that.
I see how you navigated out of that one. Well done.
Technically.
It was a good time. But it's kind of chilled out. Now he just goes, I feel bad for him, man. It just, there's times when he can't control and it's really uncomfortable. Mm.
Yeah, that's that. I can see how that would be a challenge. I mean, it's challenging enough to like go out in public and do human things, you know, right, in this world where sort of then be saying something that's like just comes. Oof.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone's going to stare at you crazy if you do the thing.
And mm-hmm. if you, you know, he listens to, he's a big rap fan. So the N word to him or black culture is like his culture, you know, like, so his Tourette's, he would sometimes like, Tourette's the N-word, but you can't say don't say that, or it just logs it. It his Tourette's goes, oh, you mean say that way more,
right? So
you have to right. do like, oof. All right,
yeah. Which is the thing that most people don't understand about Tourette's is they don't realize that there's not any sort of conscious list that has been created that I'm going to say
right.
if the ticks tick off. It's usually something that part of my brain knows for an absolute fact I'm not supposed to say. Yep. So like, yeah, no. And they, well, you not say that. And I'm like, no, you can't just not do anything. Like just don't breathe for 10 minutes. Like
just like most,
let's see how that goes.
Just like most mental health things, people, if they can't see it, like everyone can look at you and know you're missing three limbs.
I'm a broke ass motherfucker.
And so they accept that, but whether it's Tourette's or depression or anxiety or whatever thing you go through, they can't see it. And if they don't experience it, they don't believe it. Mm-hmm. They just can't fathom. Like, how can he just shout shit out? I used to watch this YouTuber that had Tourette's. He'd get on a plane and shout, I'm smuggling cocaine, and talk about bombs and shit. You know, like he couldn't, because he knew he wasn't supposed to.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, how are you supposed to convince yourself that all those red flag phrases for the world are green flag phrases so that your Tourette's doesn't use them as ammunition?
Right.
Like, huh?
It's like, how do you not fear it when the fear is in the subconscious mind?
Yeah, because
maybe Tourette's it, like, my cousin had it growing up, so like somewhat familiar, maybe not as familiar as being like that close living all the time. But it's like, okay, if it's there, and it's triggered by like a fear of not supposed to say it, and then it's said more frequently. I think all humans are experiencing that, though. I think the things we fear that we don't acknowledge, we experience more often than if we just acknowledged it. So like what I'm saying is Tourette's can be a microcosm, and like leaders as they navigate their fear.
Ooh. Yeah.
I was going to say, it all goes back to the boy who lived. His name was Voldemort, damn it, and he was a murderer. Quit calling him ye who should not be named. It adds fear to the whole thing if you refuse to say the name of it. Yeah. Like if you're not going to know what it is, figure it out, and understand it, then you don't rate an opinion on the matter anyways. Like, no one's going to take your anything you say seriously on the subject because you don't know shit about fuck.
I think that ties a lot into like cancel culture shit too, dude, where people expect you to say certain shit or not say certain shit, or they label you a certain way and they give power to it. Even the N-word, like, it's mm-hmm. so intertwined into the music and culture of everyone now. I've said the N-word with the A at the end to my friends, not in any demeaning way, but in an inclusive way, and it gives it power when you're like, don't, you can't use that word, don't say it, or you're this, like, I just don't agree.
And none of it is a thirst to say it. I don't care. Like, the hard R is a horrible and ignorant word, but like, all the way back to Voldemort again, fucking like, yeah, you're giving it all this power for some fucking reason. Yeah. Like, why are we all so terrified of a word? Like, any word. But it's like, that's obviously the primest example in today's age.
It's all about context, though. Everything you say is about context. I mean,
and intent.
Using that word, or using any word for that matter, in a terrible context should be dealt with. But context is so fucking important, and I think that gets lost so often, especially with cancel culture people.
Well, that goes back to the beginning of the episode where Kevin Hart worked his ass off to get high enough in the game to host the Oscars. And then he gets shit canned because of something he tweeted 10 years ago.
That's crazy.
I'm like, if you're the same person thinking the exact same way that you were 2, 5, 10 years ago, you're the fucking problem. Like he's grown as a human being. So yay, congratulations. Like that you're not that anymore or whatever. Like, either way, it was in the context of a joke anyways. So,
well, even all the shit we've been talking about with people being too attached or something and not being able to change their viewpoint, it's funny because there is a large group of people. So, you know, let's take politician A, and for 10 years that person has a stance, and then they get new information, they change their stance. People don't want to let it go. They don't want to be like, accept that person changed. They want to shit on them for changing their viewpoint. And it's like, no, that's a good thing. It's a good thing to change your viewpoint on things, especially when you know, faced with new information or better information.
How dare you jump ship?
We can, if we can continue to allow our comfort with our emotions to expand, we could continue to expand our perspectives on things. And then it just gives us choice, because we can still see it from the old perspective. And then there's just more options to see it from a new perspective that may serve us better.
And that kind of makes me go back to something you said before too, where we're talking about fear. People, I think everybody's been hurt. We've all been hurt by someone or by something. Yeah. Many times, probably, if you've experienced life. And oftentimes I think people are afraid to expand their emotions because of that.
Yeah. If your parents let you go to California, you've been hurt before.
Or we could level set this one. If you've been born into this world and you have gone from somehow being one with everything, or like in a womb, to like now you're just in this world. Yeah, like that's a pretty scary thing. Level set. All experienced it somehow.
Yep.
Zombies.
There's a phrase Rogan uses all the time to like make himself feel comfortable with shit that I find myself going back to. And that's, oh, these people used to be babies. This was just a baby. Yes. Like, and so much of who you are is established when you're a fucking baby, like before you're 4 years old.
Yes.
And we're all here just trying to figure this shit out.
That's what I'm saying too.
I was saying, Roy Kent said it, probably the best, where everyone's weird. You just got to figure out if you're, you know, why is your weird the wrong weird?
Right. Have you ever seen Ted Lasso, TJ?
Yeah. Great show.
Ty just got me on that. I've binge watched the whole thing. Man, what a show. Roy Kent's my favorite. I love Roy Kent.
I did not expect Hannah Waddingham to have such an effect on me.
Which one?
Rebecca.
The boss?
Yeah.
Man, she's hot.
Before I watched Ted Lasso, I'd have been like, yeah, whatever. But yeah, no, like 3 episodes in, I was just like, what's up, girl? How you doing?
Yeah.
All bashful and stupid.
To the TV.
Yep. Because I usually enjoy such happy making shows when I don't got the kids and I'm relaxing.
You talked about that, how it's such a positive show, and it is, but it also is a lot of adversity. And I mean, it's not just all positivity.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, it's so well written. There was they went down deep into a lot of subjects.
Yeah.
And none of it was shoehorned into the story. None of it was forced in your face for no fucking reason. Like, it was all very well written, and it covered a lot of shit. So, and by the end of it, you feel excellent about every one of those situations, except everyone thinks that Nate should probably have died in a fiery car accident or something.
The only thing that I was left unhappy with when it was over is that it was over. I was like, well, yeah.
Make another season somehow. Write it good though. Don't make a trash fourth season, but I like that it ended on purpose. That's all, because you fall in love with the damn show, and then some cliffhanger you want to know the end of, and it's done now. Like, it all ended on purpose, and everything was tied up nice. You know, Roy's the manager now, and he's back home with his son like he wanted the whole fucking time.
When they did the song and dance on the exit, it was perfect. It was everything, dude.
And they even kind of allude that Dr. Jacob's not in the picture anymore at the end.
Mm.
Because he was being such a dick about the final game, and then he's not there whenever a kid comes out at the end when Lasso gets home. And I'm just like, hell yeah, even better. Like, because he was kind of a toolbox.
It's funny because I find myself bored of a lot of movies and shows that end the way that you want them to. Like, I kind of like M. Night Shyamalan for that reason. He kind of holds you up. And even Game of Thrones, everybody hated the ending. I loved it because I didn't want it to end that way. So like, sometimes, though, there's a show where it just has to end. It has to end right. It has to end the way you expect it to. They got to win the big game. They got to fucking...
No, see, they didn't even... That's what they got second. They didn't win the big game, but then all the characters got where you wanted all the characters to go. Right. So, like, they did it. They did the what you want, but, like, it not the what you want, but what you need. Like, you wanted Richmond to come back and win the whole fucking thing, like they said they were going to, but by the end of it, you're just happy that everyone's happy. Yep. Like, second place is great. Right.
But they did what they wanted to do in the game. You know what I mean? And there's just certain films or shows that I feel like they need to resolve that way. It was perfect.
So you like Law Abiding Citizen all the way through?
What?
You like the film entitled Law Abiding Citizen all the way through?
I think I've seen it.
Oh, cool. I won't spoil it then.
Should I check it out?
It's wonderful. It's a good one for sure. And as a father, there's parts that you will love. But it doesn't end in the manner you ultimately want it to.
All right. Yeah, I generally like that. I want
an alternate ending where it ends right, big time. Like, or and just like in Gone Girl, I need another 30 minutes of movie. Like, like the end of that one was not where it needed to end. I needed like 30 more minutes of where she got her somehow.
I think sometimes we need that. We need movies that don't end right. Like, it needs to be like full. Not always, just sometimes.
I agree. Do you know where the bullet bottle opener thing is? Mm-mm. Okay, never mind. Thank you. I love you very much. You're my all-time favorite daughter. Sorry. That's all right. Trying to think. There was shit. Talking about movies that went better than I thought they were going to. I really like the new Roadhouse.
I haven't watched it yet.
It's on Prime Video.
I saw that.
But, oh my God, people are so mad. Like, the people who are mad about it, I don't know. They didn't watch it with the right mind, in my opinion. Because everyone's big problem is Conor McGregor. He's the worst actor in the history of the world. And one, no, he's definitely not. I can think of six. He was having a blast. And you can tell he was having a blast. And he was humble on set, too, apparently. Like, he came to Jake Gyllenhaal all, I'm a white belt. Show me what to do. Like, I'm a boot at this. Teach me. And I like that. I respect that a lot out of somebody. But they pay homage to the original in several different ways. And it was way funnier than I expected it to be. And it was as 80s crazy hokey as it needed to be.
Nice.
Like, it's not a grounded story by any means.
I think people that are mad are just mad because Patrick Swayze's butt cheeks aren't in it.
Well, and they kind of redo that scene, and Jake's abs are in it, and Jake's abs are like, they're like abbing. No homo, but like, he put some work in. There was probably some illegal substances involved or something. I don't know, but his abs are redunk donk. I think they did a really awesome job, because I mean, everyone's just like, the nostalgia glasses are hard to pull off from the first one, But I'm just like, yo, you know, outlandish the main hench dude was. He used to fuck guys like you in prison. And fucking all of the hench dudes, you're a disgusting bleeder. Like, just like, it was so over the fucking top. They drove a monster truck through a car dealership and everyone was like, okay, this is just going to happen now. Like, the original was hokey as shit, too. Swayze's not around, and I bet he'd have loved it if he could watch it.
So, to shift gears here a little bit, TJ, your psychedelic experiences, was it particularly what psychedelic experiences did you have, and what was that like?
That was a funny shift from where we were in movies, and I was with it. I'm with you guys. I mean, I just don't really watch a lot of movies, so I'm just like, all right, what are their thoughts here on, on Patrick Swayze and Roadhouse? And then to pop right into psychedelics. All right. Hello.
Yeah, it's a real weird shift, but.
Hello. All right.
I try to be in the conversation, but I try to remember a few points to revisit.
Yeah.
Pop out, and I'm afraid I'm going to lose it. So I'm like, fuck, here's a perfect time to shift gears to this right now.
That's funny.
I wrote it on my hand.
First time I experienced psychedelics. So I was going through like all these changes. I'd gone out to nature twice by myself, and I was considering going down to Peru to do an ayahuasca retreat, but mm-hmm. I felt a little bit rushed. So I went out to nature by myself, and like, I just had like these deep, like mystical type experiences where I felt so in tune with nature. It was just me out there, you know? And I felt like at any moment God could come out and just be like, cut, it's over. And I would have been like, all right. That was
what a twist. the whole time.
Yeah, the whole time. And, so then a couple of weeks after that, I had the opportunity to experience DMT, which is the main component of ayahuasca.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was my first psychedelic experience. And it was just like I felt as though just basically dissolved.
Yeah.
Like the moment I smoked it, my brain chemistry changed. It was a childhood friend. And I was looking at him, and he kind of shifted into like geometrical patterns and energy. And I recognized his energy, and then my spirit just like went off to the other side of the universe, it felt like. And that was it, dude. I was just like suspended in this infinite canvas of geometric. It's like, it's like nearly impossible. I can't even explain it, but.
I've heard it described as is trying to bring the ocean, trying to bring home the information that you get from a DMT trip is like trying to bring home the ocean with your hands.
Hmm.
Yeah. Exactly. Totally. And here's what it did, though, is doors that I'd been able to open in meditation and out in nature and like feeling into new depths of myself, experiencing that basically like confirmed it in a way. It like allowed me to like step through some of those doors that I was able to open.
Yeah.
And then I came back and I went for a run 2 days later. And I was a little bit like, I was a little bit shaken up. I was like the next day, I was like, wow, that was like a very profound experience. I went for a run the next day and I was like, shit, like, you know what? What it did was confirm like a clear break between the I and the self. And it allowed me to like more easily observe my thoughts or to know that that's a thing, to become the observer of the thoughts and not be the thoughts. And then I was like, and it was this info. I was like, whatever comes after death, I don't know, but it's perfect. And if I could see that as perfect, I could see the beauty in this world. And I was like running on the Katy Trail in Dallas, and I was noticing like the plants along the side of the trail, and I was noticing the clouds overhead. And I was like, oh, like this is how addictions are broken. Like you were on the right track with, and keep going.
Wow. So it's like a 15 or 20 minute trip, right? It's not a very long, when you smoke DMT, it's pretty short, correct?
It was like 8 minutes clock time, yet simultaneously
years
glimpsing the eternal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ty?
Question.
Ty.
Sorry. So I didn't know that. So there's the one of them is one. Hold you on. Smoke it, so, and you're only doing it for 10 minutes, but it feels like a day and a half or some shit?
Smoking DMT is a 8 to 15, 20 minute trip. It's a very short trip. Ayahuasca, on the other hand, is an 8 hour trip.
No, so, but when you're doing the quarter of the hour one, it feels like way longer, slow-mo kind of deal? Like the new Judge Dredd?
time isn't even a thing. It's not even like a framework of the experience. And
time
here's
is just a construct. The Matrix is real.
And here's the thing too, psychedelics, they're just tools. It's not even with people that like I work with, it's not like, yeah, go do this. It's like, I don't know if it feels right, go do it. But I get the same benefits of like cold plunging and running as I do with psychedelic experiences. I did a fast last year for 3 days, and like day three, I had the same emotions, the same emotional depth as my first psilocybin experience.
Wow.
We don't do the psilocybin for like, I mean, you can do it for like the party and like the visuals, to feel into the emotions.
Yep.
Yeah. My only experience with mushrooms was a chocolate bar. But it felt, I took enough, I think I maybe a step farther than like I maybe should have. So I did, it wasn't a crazy hard trip, but like in the movies, I was like, oh, the people who write these scenes in movies have done this before. Like, cause I left my wheelchair in the garage and I sat out in the rain, and
that's
cool. The spots of rain on the driveway were gradually becoming different things and whatnot. And then I got way too cold and sat in the shower for another hour until we didn't have any hot water. But by the time the, 6 hours or what, 4 to 6 hours was up, it felt like someone wrung my brain out. Like things that I didn't realize were tense were now relaxed, kind of thing. And that was the benefit of it for me. That's as far as I've gone. I've not smoked anything or done vision quests. And I have no earthly intention to fast, except when I'm sleeping. I wouldn't mind going harder in the paint on some of those, because my first experience was very beneficial mentally. Because again, I didn't go as hard. Like, yeah, you're talking about kind of a version of seeing God, finding the universe, pulling the seeing who's pulling the strings kind of stuff, which is fucking glorious. And that's awesome. But yeah, mine literally, it was just like something washed something out of my head. like I didn't know any of that gunk was in there, and now it's not. Yay.
I grew up really buying into the Say No to Drugs campaign by Nancy Reagan, and was very anti-drug across the board. And it, again, I hate to keep going back to Rogan, but really changed my life. And as far as my respect for psychedelics, it took me listening to all the professors and scholars and brilliant minded entrepreneurs and just brilliant people who have had these profound experiences, these life changing experiences with psychedelics.
Dude, I'm not.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not saying psychedelics are good or bad. Would I consider myself an advocate for psychedelics? I just talk about it because I experience it, not because I'm trying to tell other people what to do. What I am saying though is it is absurd that I could walk down the street and go get a 12-pack at 7-Eleven and go to that bar right there and then go get fast food. Like, I see all these things out my window. But to start talking about psychedelics and it's underground, like, where's just choice? Just open it up so people can make their own choices.
Yeah. One, no one is thinking you're sponsored by shrooms and stuff right now. And that's kind of what we were doing anyways, because, like, we're not medical professionals. I got no school for this whatsoever. I have a high school education and the School of Infantry under my belt. what worked for us or what worked for my buddy or whatever, just we're bouncing ideas off each other more than anything. If it worked for you, it very well could work for someone else. And obviously that's not to say that if you go home right now and smoke the acronym one,
DMT,
you might not see the strings of the universe. You might not see God. It might be a terrible situation. You might go to the fiery depths of hell, like in Constantine. But like, it worked for him. And if you're going to, and one of the things we're obviously trying to stop with any of this is suicides. And if you're going to go that far and think that's the only option, how could you not have looked under every rock first?
That's such a great point, man.
Boom. That's what I'm saying.
Like, if you're not going to go for broke and try these things that we've been talking about fear the whole time. That's the name of this episode, is overcoming your fears. But if you're not going to do these things that you even hear people say are the one. But like, no, the just permanent solution. I'm done. This is ridiculous. Like,
dude, I can apply that to myself right now.
That's all you've been doing.
Had some really dark thoughts. I've never done psychedelics fully. I've done microdosed shrooms, and I've done a half a tab of acid one time. But I've always wanted to do ayahuasca and DMT. Why would I possibly think about? And I'm an advocate for those things. I'm for those things. It's funny you're talking about people could have a bad trip. Rogan swears that the bad trips are where he learns the most.
That's what I was going to say as soon as you said that, before you brought him back up for the fifth time. No, I doubt it. No, but yeah, I think that the what is in the bad trip is something you'll be able to dissect and figure out why the hell it was there. And then that is literally that's the first foothold in the climb to getting over it.
Yes.
I can even go a step further with talking about myself. I have seen that they're doing studies on mushrooms, doing a heroic dose of mushrooms under a doctor's care, followed by another in a few days or a week or something. And it's having like a 90% positive effect on people with depression. It's doing great things, yet still we can't just get access to that because whatever, you know. The funny thing was, but going back to the DMT, you were talking about the geometric patterns, TJ, and it's really interesting how many people have such a similar experience under that drug, where I've heard it explained like, are you experiencing something different, or is it like a bigger antenna, giving a bigger antenna to you to be able to experience things that were not, that actually are always there? You know what I'm saying? Like you're adding to your Wi-Fi, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really fascinating.
Well, because or would it come down to, I'm real bad at math. I just feel like all the geometric shapes would be, because mine was all splotches and 70s psychedelic Jackson Pollocky type shit. But again, I didn't go down the real hard path either yet.
Right.
But I think they're
different experiences.
Well, yeah, and I was going to say, like, does that come down to potentially, say, the dream manual, where, like, if you got crows in your dreams, you're this is happening, or, you know, if this happens, if there's clowns, like, do splotches mean I'm a different kind of brain than someone who ends up seeing geometric patterns and such?
I don't know. Because
I am in no way an engineer. I am so terrible with how things go together and how they work. And math in general, like, I'm very god awful of that stuff. I'm on the other side of the fence.
It's only anecdotal.
Okay,
Everyone I've ever heard talk about it says the same shit.
It just made me think that there was a possibility that was like not a team's thing, but a sign of what kind of thinker you are or something.
I don't know. It's a good question.
Okay. So if I go hard and do whatever you did, I'll let you know if I see the geometrics or not. And then we can start figuring it out.
You don't have to
go on team trips. Go on team trips.
Here's the thing, too. The more that I learn, the more I realize I don't know. So it's like, So it's like, all right. So, we can go deep, dude. I'm down to go deep. And then we could all just pull it back that, like, yeah, the point of all this is just to enjoy our lives. So if we're doing mushrooms and it's leading to places of not enjoyment consistently, let's pull back on the mushrooms a little bit. Maybe run, or like cold plunge, or like eat health, whatever it is, you know?
Yeah.
Something.
It does come back to the simplicity of like finding the joy in what we're doing.
Change the dynamic. If this is not benefiting you in any way, if it's not going to make you money, make you happy, make you this, make you that, then all alcohol does is give me a headache and put less money in my pocket. I've spent money on something that I enjoyed for not even while I was drinking it. I enjoyed the feeling it gave me after I drank it. And then now I have a headache.
if you're living a mostly joyless life, what the fuck's the point? Like, are you looking, you know, I know there's people that believe in an afterlife or they believe in something, but they don't know. We only know with 100% certainty that we're here right now. That's the only thing we know. for sure.
Yeah.
So it's like finding joy and finding a happy place, your own little spot, like to be who you are is everything.
I have the number 32 tattooed on my wrist because rule number 32 is enjoy the little things.
Wait, what's that from?
Zombieland.
That's right.
And me, I don't like zombie movies. I hate them a lot, actually. Like, the whole genre is not for me. Not to say that they're bad movies, if that's your shtick, cool. But Zombieland, it hit hard for me. I liked the sequel. It was funny as shit. I love that movie. But yeah,
they were great.
Yeah, the reason the neurotic boy survives so long as he has this list of rules that he has to follow, do cardio, stretch, whatever. They get to like a tchotchke rest stop on the side of the highway, and it's all that just random Native American art and Bradford Exchange shit, and they just go ham destroying the whole fucking thing. And it, boom, rule number 32, enjoy the little things. I was like, that's perfect. You gotta stop and smell the roses from time to time.
That's interesting. I wonder if there'll be a point in the future where the stigma around psychedelics and even the legality of it will change, and they'll just have places you can go. You know, I think there's an ayahuasca retreat in Orlando, if I'm not mistaken.
I'll tell you, probably, because I mean, think about what, 10, 15, 8, 20 years ago for sure. Pot. Yeah. Like, yeah, you people going away for life for pot.
Yeah.
And it's mostly legal everywhere now. And it's a fucking plant. Come on. Then you think however many years prior to that, smoking was considered healthy.
Yeah.
Cigarettes. You're like pregnant, it was pregnant. You could blow smoke in your kid's face all you wanted, like, because it was going to help. Like, yeah. Like, I mean, that all changes too. So I think down the road, it's going to be there. All the chemical shit, I hope, eventually gets worked out. But all the stuff that's just born of the earth already anyways, I hope the stigma is just gone, city gone.
Yeah.
I think it's impossible it won't be, at least for shrooms, because they're too close to what pot is for people to stay hating on them.
Well, natural growing in the ground.
Yeah, it's not Molly. It's not bath salts. It's not eat your face shit. It's meet yourself shit. introduced to you before.
Isn't true freedom being able to do whatever the fuck you want with your own body up until the point where it affects someone else? I mean, what I do in the comfort of my own home should be my fucking business only.
Yeah.
As long as I'm not out, but yet we can go out to a bar and drive home drunk. I mean, legally you're not supposed to, but people do it every fucking night. No. But I think alcohol should be legal. It's not that it shouldn't. It's just everything should be legal, or at least decriminalized.
Hopefully the stigma of alcohol is on the rise, because I mean, now cigarettes are most, like, if you see someone smoking, you're like, oh, your parents smoked hard, and like they were one of your last of the old guard smoking cigarettes these days. So like maybe in 20, 30 years, people will realize how terrible alcohol is for you, and it'll be more of like oh gosh. You're drinking, like, it'd be more of a peer pressure thing to stop, like, than the socially acceptable. It's what we do after work. It's how we get loose. It's how everything's good in moderation. But still, like, of the things you're allowed to do and that people will ultimately encourage you to do, drinking booze is fucking terrible on your system.
Yeah. Maybe it changes when people start to see that by giving our authority away and being like, well, I was just following the rules. These are just the rules, you know? And like, I did this in the military. It's like, well, it was just like a higher authority that was telling us to do things. So like, I gave my authority away, but like to live more powerfully in this world that's changing, it's like, we need to take our authority back and make decisions for ourselves. It's kind of like cowardice in a way to not do that.
You're right.
Well, the authority figures out there, they're telling me to do it. I don't agree with it, but I'm still going to arrest you. At some level, people have to start seeing that it's better for them to take the authority back in their lives.
Yep.
This episode is just staying on that conquering your fear shit. Hell yeah.
The only thing we need the law for is to protect people from other people. Protect my shit. Protect me from someone else just coming in and, you know, There's certain things we need laws for. This is all mine now. But I don't need someone to protect me from me. That's not the job of my government, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's funny. There's a meme that was going around, and this in particular, I think, was like backing Palestine, but let's apply it to the other things. How so many movies, you know, whether it's the Hunger Games or whatever.
Oh, yeah. You're on the side of the resistance.
Right. Everybody's on the side of the resistance in movies, but in real life, everyone just sits back and fights over, you know, what authoritarian figure they're going to put in place to fucking tell us what to do. And they're comfortable with that. That's wild.
Why it's comfortable. It's a known thing, even though it may not be serving us. But like Jesus says, he says, give to the Romans what's the Romans. Like, all right, I'll pay my taxes, but I'm not going to get too wrapped up in the rest of it. I used to.
For sure. Yeah. It's a lot, man. At some point, we can all see that it's going in the wrong direction. And at some point, we're all going to have to come together and stop bickering over who's moron is better and do something about it. Do the right thing together.
Well, I mean, it just everyone going so hard the wrong way is going to ultimately work in our favor, I think. This is both fingers crossed here. Because the cancel culture went so fucking hard for a couple years there. So now most people are just like, oh my God, shut up. Just let people do what they're going to do. If you don't like it, change the channel or keep scrolling or whatever. Like, who cares if it's not a real country song? Let people enjoy it if they're going to enjoy it. But most people
are for inclusivity. They don't care. But
the forcing it on everybody so hard and forcing the feelings of this and forcing all of that. I think that everyone's gone so hard like that it's going to bounce back relatively quickly.
Like special.
There's so many people fed the fuck up with being told how to think and being told that that guy that you have no beef with is your enemy. You know why he's your enemy? Because I said so. Like, most people are waking up to that shit and I'm fucking pumped about it. But like, we'll get more. Give it another couple of years.
it's getting better, man. Like it's on the downside because like Shane Gillis being hired to host Saturday Night Live was a huge deal when Spotify told everybody no on Rogan and when Netflix said no when they tried to cancel Chappelle. That's all it takes because then they just move on to some other shit.
Yeah,
you know, like at some point, logic and reason went out the window and people just wanted to go emotional on everything. You know, up to the point that they're fine with a man beating the shit out of women in women's MMA. Like somehow that's a virtuous thing.
Well, Disney just went harder in the paint than anyone and just listened only and didn't think about nothing because they just coughed out movie after movie of changing shit or just forcing woke nonsense down everyone's throat that everyone's just like, oh, great. Like whatever it is, I don't care. Like whatever Disney's putting out, who cares? Is where I'm at now.
Just heads up, I got to bounce out of here in a couple minutes. Oops. Right. Just giving you guys a heads up on that one.
No, we can do. Obviously, yeah, we can start wrapping it up. I was circling the wagons on some dumb shit, so we don't even need to go there.
circling the wagons.
There's anything else you want to touch on before we hop off?
Yeah. You have any saved rounds?
I have no saved rounds. I'm glad to hang out with you guys.
Yeah, it's cool. I'd love to have you back on again just to bullshit, man.
For sure. Yeah.
We talked about a few things with you, but we just kind of went off onto everything. It was an enjoyable conversation, though, man.
Absolutely. I'm glad to hear that, and I feel the same way.
It's telling me you're at 99% upload, but when you log out, just make sure that it says completely uploaded or whatever. It should take just a couple of seconds.
I'll do the same thing.
On the other hand, this is 16. Yeah, you're struggling over there. What do you got, dial-up, dude?
I got a brand new modem. and it's right there. My shit should be good.
You call it your BBS with your fucking 56K modem.
I didn't mean to.
All right, well, enjoyable conversation. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to meet you, man. I'd love to hang out in real life, man. If you're ever in the Midwest, look me up. I know you're
whereabouts.
Just outside of St. Louis.
Okay. Going down to Florida.
I travel quite a bit for music, so I'm here and there, but I haven't been to the West Coast in quite some time.
Cool, man. Stay connected, stay in touch, and perhaps run into each other one of these days.
Sounds great, man.
Ditto.
Awesome, dude.
All right.
Appreciate Thank you. Ty, so very nice to meet you. Man.
Ditto, brother. Have a good one.
Until next time.
Take it easy, man.
Same Bat Channel. Woo!
Thank you guys so much for listening. It was a very enjoyable conversation. Ty has fallen, and he can't get up.
My bad. Thank you all for coming.
Yeah, thank you for coming. You wanna throw some money our way? We'll put it back into the podcast. Not Venmo. What's the other one?
Cash App.
I don't use it that much. It's Cash App Polk Podcast. Feel free to donate. We'll put it towards some cool graphics or so. I don't know what we're gonna do. We might change some format stuff here pretty soon too, but. Anyway, thank you guys for all that have hung around. We hope this is doing something for you like it is for us. And hopefully you're still fucking here.
Still fucking here.